B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 11 o'clock. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We're Beasley Media Group Station. Harry in West Philly. Oh, wait, we have the key word. That's right.
You want to do it to the Sixer song?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
I like it. Don't forget our Trust the... After all, it's Trust the Contest 5K day giveaway. So this hour's keyword is only. O-N-L-Y, only. Enter the keyword only on the Fanatic app, 97.5thefanatic.com, or by texting only to 45911 by 11:15 a.m. We'll call you if you're randomly selected. You'll win $1,000. Everybody that enters on our app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. Rules for this nationwide contest are available at 97.5thefanatic.com. Enter the keyword only on the Fanatic app at 97.5thefanatic.com or by texting only to 45911 by 11:15 a.m. Our Fanatic Trust the Contest 5K a day cash giveaway presented by the new Parx Casino Sportsbook app. Download the app or go to parxcasino.com/PA and use promo code QB500. There you have it. That's you. We're going to move to Camden. We're going to put you in the aquarium. That's a great seal, man. Where'd you find that seal?
Ah, it was me.
Aaron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Aaron?
Oh, man, y'all boys are funny. The seal, huh?
He's a seal. Who? Only a seal eats his food cold like him.
Yeah, I can't start off eating it. I had to start off eating it hot, man. Got to be hot.
Yeah, but, man.
I'm a 4-for-4 cat. You know that, Ant. 4-for-4. So I'm always on the front of the bus when it comes to my teams, man. I don't care if they waver it. I don't care what they look like. You know what I mean? I got to pull for them. I can be critical sometimes. Most of the times, I try to see the shining light. I try to see a light.
Yeah.
But
you seek the positive. Like I kind of do the same thing.
You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm Philly till I die, man.
Uh-huh.
Everybody calls me a homer, everybody.
Yeah,
man.
That's all right.
You love Philly to death. Yeah, that's right. I love Philly to death. Born and raised. But I'm going to tell you something, Ed. I believe I like the move yesterday. I told you got to sit Scott and put – I wanted Courtmise in there, but he put Thibault in there. Great defense by Thibault last night, man. 4 blocks.
Yeah.
He was – you know, the boy could play D. And this is why I see why I'm in with the Sixers. Because when the playoff time comes, man, they're going to D, let me say, the hell out of people. They're going to D the hell out of people, man. Because
you're singing my tune.
You know, they're going to, because they just have too much length. That's one. And they can throw different people at you. That's two. To calm people down. Not even just the big man, not just Giannis. I mean, they could do that with Harden if they want to throw Ben Ennis and Thibault at him. You know, they could just throw.
Well, Houston's not making the finals. I mean,
but you see what I'm saying, though? They could throw people at them and whoever who's going to make the finals. Because I believe they're going to make the finals, man. I believe it. Because the defense has to just show up. And I know they're going to show up because when Ben talks, when he say lock in, the first thing he's talking about is defense.
Yes.
First thing he's talking about is defense. And when they get their defense on, man, it's going to be hard. Because, you know, in the playoff time, they slow down. It ain't that fast pace. It ain't all that craziness going. And there's no
Well, what it is, it, you know, it's funny because like, you do have runouts. But like, to your point, what happens is you defend every possession, right?
Right.
It's hard. See, the thing about, I could be wrong, but when I look at the bully ball on the defensive standpoint, it's hard to defend 82 games during a regular season every possession.
I know that's right.
Like, it just doesn't, like, the game itself, when the Pistons were playing like that, the game itself was kind of led to that. Right?
Right. It was slowed down.
Right, like the pace of play. It wasn't like today's pace. It wasn't like they had today's pace and the Pistons were locking them down every possession. The pace was a part of the whole thing as well.
Right, the pace, yeah, that's right. And with Ben, man, I mean, I've never seen – I'm so enamored with this guy, man, because he can dominate a game without shooting jumpers. That's kind of incredible that he can – he was 9-for-13 yesterday. I mean, he didn't go crazy, you know, but shooting jumpers and everything. I think we're so hype on jumpers, it's killing me. That, you know, you got to shoot a jumper to be good. I've known a lot of people that played the NBA couldn't shoot jumpers and not refuse to take them. His problem is he got to start taking them, you know, in sequence and you know, when he could take them, not, you know, just throw them up like he KD or something. That's all we're looking for. But I like this team going forward, Ant, man. And Elton Brand is going to make something magical come off that bench. Derrick Rose... I wasn't really with you, but I'm with you 100% now.
You saw him last night.
Man.
I know. You saw him last night. Yeah.
He is balling. If you could get a Derrick Rose to come off this bench.
I love Derrick Rose. Yeah. He's a winner. He's tough. I agree. I love Derrick Rose. And good stuff. He's my choice. I don't know. I don't know if he wants, like, there was a report that he's happy in Detroit, doesn't want to be moved. I don't know. But I love Derrick Rose. Now, you can either go that route, or the other thing I think is real and in play is if you brought J.J. Redick back.
What?
Yes. I think if you can't get a Derrick Rose, I think J.J. Redick is primed to come back. Look, they don't need J.J. Redick. You know, Zion's coming back. You know the whole thing about them. He's a waste down there. I think you can take the contract.
I'd have to make a public apology.
Well, the fact he would come back, I think you would like, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's part of the reason why I call him a fraud. It's because they need him. He's, for leaving, he was a fraud.
Well, I agree with you. Listen, you don't need a big apology. I agree with you. Like, the minute you take, wherever it was, $25 million?
21, I think it was, right?
Or whatever it was, the first year he came here.
Right.
You know, you came here because that's the money. They had to pay him to get to the threshold. Floor.
Right.
So you cashed in. So to me, you owed it on the back end.
Yeah, you talk about how much you love Philly and how you love it because it's close to your hometown in Brooklyn, and then you go to New Orleans.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, you ate all the restaurants that you need to eat at in the world. Now come back here.
Yes. I'll welcome him back. Open arms.
Now, if you have JJ in the mix, you then at least you can do some of the things I think Brett wants to do with some of the three-point stuff. You know, and then you can play, all right, here he is. Late in a game. Now, again, I love Derrick Rose, but if you went J.J., I like J.J. a lot.
Right.
So I would be on board with this, too. At the end of the games, he's on the floor. You go offense, defense, probably with Horford.
And I believe it was Rich Hoffman. Remember Tyrone showed you the video of Al Horford when they ran the pick and roll?
Yes.
A few nights ago, and Horford completely blocked it with Simmons and Richardson. He put another video up, and he did the dribble handoff. It was the similar play that Embiid and Redick would always run, but last night they did it with Simmons and Korkmaz.
Yeah.
And Korkmaz made it.
Yeah.
But let's face it, you know, this isn't a slight to Korkmaz. J.J. Redick's a far better three-point shooter,
yes.
A reliable three-point shooter.
Definitely.
So if you bring him back, you have that aspect of the game, and even if you have Ben doing the dribble handoff with him.
I think that's real. I do. I think the J.J. stuff is real. I love Derrick Rose. And, I would look at that, those two. If I can't get one, I get the other. Let's go to Hawk. Look at this. We got Hawk and B-Hawk on the line at the same time. They're not the same person.
All right.
Hawk and B-Hawk. It's like Batman. Hawk, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Hawk.
What's going on, cuz?
What's up, brother?
Oh, man. Hey, you know what, cuz? I'm in, but I understand that we only have about, I would say, 75% of a gas tank. You know what I mean? We don't. I think that what we're doing is we're falling too far behind on the scorecards, or like even in a boxing match where we could be getting into some unnecessary dust ups and some unsavory arenas in some hostile territory. I think we need to definitely establish ourselves, you know, early on, some sort of pacing. While I do understand regular season basketball is different from postseason basketball. But funny story I want to tell you, I went back and I watched one of my favorite childhood movies, and it's Days of Thunder. And I wanted to say that...
Days of Thunder? Which one's that again?
With Tom Cruise, the race car, NASCAR.
Oh, yeah. I never saw that.
Cold Trickle.
All right.
Yeah. Ben Simmons is Cold Trickle. Like, to me, he reminded me of Cole, because when Harry was trying to talk to him, he didn't understand. He thought all race cars with stock cars were built the same. And then Harry had to explain it to him. And then he finally broke down and said, look, hey, I don't know anything about, you know, what you mean that, you know, tires and all that. Harry was like, look, we can't finish a race unless, you know, we finish the tires. And Ben was, you know, I mean, and Cole was like, look, there's nothing I can't do with a race car. So then Dennis Quaid stepped in, or Randy Quaid stepped in, and his character, like Elton Brand. And then, like, listen, can he drive? He was like, yeah, but if he doesn't trust you. So what I'm saying is that Ben is like that, where Brett Brown's going to have to step in and explain to him. Like, most people don't understand, though that Ben is a great passer, he may not understand the two-man game. Most people don't understand where what reversing the court is, reversing the ball to the backside of the court, with three guys on one side of the rim and two guys on the back.
Wait a second. You don't think Ben understands that?
I don't think that Ben understands it, because if he understood it, then he would understand the fundamental flaw of what he's doing.
Okay, so here, let's stop right here. Let's have a conversation about this. I think for sure he understands it, but I think hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
His issue, I think, is deep-rooted psychological more than
absolutely
understanding. I think intellectually he understands it. He was raised in the game, but I think there is something inside him. Go ahead.
Can I say this? I coached high school basketball. One of the things that you have to teach is the two-man game. When you reverse the ball, it's a crucial part of the game.
Yes.
Where you cannot play a three man, because the two man game is where you get your quick buckets, your ISO, or you pick and roll.
Right.
I get all of that. But what I'm saying is that you can't continue to play the three man game where there's three defenders on one side of the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And if he cannot understand it, because if he understood it,
okay. You're fighting me on it. And I like, again, he was raised, his father.
Right.
Okay, but I don't understand how you get that there is something deep rooted inside. He knows the flow of the
game. Because if he understood it, then he would understand what he's doing wrong to this team.
He knows what he's doing. Okay, no. Hold on. I love you. But we sometimes, mm-hmm. there is a disconnect. And think about this think about this for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You might know that you are you have a vice or something you do in your mm-hmm. life. It's not good for you, right? Know it, and you know intellectually that when you do this or don't do something, that it's going to impact you negatively. Intellectually, you understand it, and you understand everything around it. So intellectually, Ben understands all this. He understands the game.
It goes to what you're saying. There's a deeper, like, phobia or some sort of something going on with him mentally, psychologically, that he doesn't get.
Yes.
But if you look at it, it's like what they call an unconscious, a functional unconscious, uh-huh. like, person, where he's able to do things, but he's unaware of the magnitude of what he's doing.
Yes.
And the flaws.
Yes.
So I totally agree with you. You get no argument out of me. Maybe the disconnect is where you don't understand that you don't get that I'm agreeing with you, that he might need to go see a shrink or something, or somebody.
Yeah, I don't even know if like that, if that's it. I guess my disconnect was more like you were saying you don't understand. Like, and I'm thinking, I mean, that's basic basketball. Like, he was, like, his father was a professional basketball player, right? He raised him to be a point guard. Like, he taught him every aspect of the game.
Right, but Magic Johnson was a terrible head coach. Michael Jordan might be. Just because you're able to do it doesn't mean that you can teach someone.
No,
else.
But I'm saying
the game.
Like,
I understand.
You know, I mean, like, you were raised.
I get it. It's so basic
that, like, he should. I mean, I would have a tough time figuring that he doesn't understand it.
But he doesn't. He doesn't. Either he's selfish or he doesn't get that he's destroying the sets where
yes.
you can't even run a nap. Let me
yeah, like, this. You're right. Like and what you say, X and O-wise, is correct.
You can't, but let me say this. When Brett Brown said that he realizes now that he has to start calling plays, that means that the point guard isn't running the sets. And when you hear mm-hmm. about point guards yelling and screaming at players, that means that he has to be the one, the quarterback, and say, hey, no, stay, ice, pick and roll, post.
Yes, you're right in everything you say. I got to roll. I got to roll. I love you. You're right. You're right. And everything you say in the, as far as the duties of a point guard, what's keeping him from taking that last step? It has to be something that's deep-rooted. It can't be. He's a smart dude. Ben Simmons is a smart guy. Like, he's smart intellectually, and he's a smart basketball player. Like, he knows stuff on the floor. Like, he knows the game. It's something that is, I don't know, you know, when we talk. Like, again, I don't know what's keeping him from doing it. It's got to be something that appears to be deep-rooted, because if you put all the pieces together, the only thing it comes back to is the mental piece of it, right? The deep-rooted psychological piece of it. You know, that's why there are sports psychologists, right? Like, that's why they exist, is to get you over a mental block within your game. And clearly, there is something there. All right, let's take a quick TO. Tim Legler will join us at 11:45. So we'll talk to Legs at 11:45. Lots to get to. Everybody, just be patient. It's fun conversation. I mean, it's why, like, I'm enamored by them. And we won't lose Eagles or Flyers that are... Flyers represent fun right now. If that makes sense. All right, let's talk of Corbelese and the tomato pie. Now, there's something that the seal can eat cold. The Corbelese tomato pie. Be good, Judas. I'll get you some tomato pie. Incredible tomato pie. I still like it hot. Like, you can eat it right out of the oven with the bubbling tomato sauce with the fresh garlic and basil and olive oil. It's tremendous. Little sprinkle of the Locatelli cheese on top. Amazing tomato pie. The Corbelese family has dedicated their lives to serving the highest quality tomato pies. Since 1924, in fact, the Corbelese family, they have perfected it. They have four locations for your convenience. Norristown, Limerick, Audubon, Douglasville. Have your event catered by Corbelese Bakery and Deli. And your guests will be talking about how incredible the food was. Perfect for any gathering. Desserts are ridiculous. You're going to love them all. The great teams, all of them, have a go-to guy when it comes to great tomato pie. My friends at Corbelese Bakery and Deli, they're my go-to guys. My guess is they're the Seals' go-to guys as well. See more at CorbeliseBakery.com.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey! Hey! 11:26. Hey! Hey! 11 o'clock hour is brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. So, I spoke to Charlie Manuel this morning. The skip had been battling a stomach thing. It's a sin, man. It's been a tough road for my man. But hopefully he says he's on the mend. He's lost a lot of weight. and because he's been like on a liquid diet, hasn't really been able to eat, and so just always remember to skip, man. Because thank God he's going to be good, and you know, I love the guy. He's a good man, Charlie Manuel, and so but he's on the road to recovery. I know he's been tweeting about stuff about his ordeal over the last month, and but he's on the mend. So
posted a nice photo today. Him and Joe Girardi getting breakfast in the city together. Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, he's the best. Like I talked to him this morning. We, you know, he's been through it, so and he hasn't been able to eat, and it's been tough. Lost a lot of weight. He can't wait to start. He goes like, after that, I start working out. He goes, I lost all my muscles.
He can still hit the long ball.
Yeah. He's a good man. Lauren in Norristown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Lauren.
Hey, Ant. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
What's going on, Lauren?
Listen, your question was whether or not fans were in or out on the Sixers. And I'm here to tell you that I'm going to ride this bus until the wheels fall off. Listen.
I'll be next to you, Lauren.
I don't understand how people can give up so soon. And I understand there's a lot riding on this season. But, you know, do you realize 4 years ago we had only won our fifth game of the season? 4 years ago today. So I've been, you know, a season ticket holder. I've been set through the process. And for me, it comes down to being patient. And I understand, you know, a lot of us are getting a little impatient with, you know, the whole process and we want to win. But I believe that we will get to where we need to be. Elton Brand, I have faith in him that he's going to make the necessary moves to get us a shooter. And people forget, you know, defensively, we are, you know, on a whole nother level than we've been in past seasons. And, you know, just getting that home court advantage, I think is going to be crucial in the case, you know.
I think that's, and you know what's funny, Laura, like, people aren't really out. I think with, you know, again, this is more of the frustrating element, and they go, they right now, they don't have faith about with the, you know, getting it all together. I don't think it's a flaw. I don't think that they're, you know, fair weather in any sense of the word. I just think there's a natural frustration. But I maybe because you and I are more optimistic at times, I still feel like they're going to make a run and they're going to make a good run. I still have that kind of faith.
I agree. I do. I think we still have a good run still left in us. And it does come down to just a lot of hope and faith and, you know, and trust. And I think Ben needs to trust in himself and his abilities to elevate his game. And I think if that piece clicks, then I think we're rolling. We're rolling into the playoffs. So we just got to keep the hope and faith. And, you know, I just don't want fans necessarily, you know, giving up in the fact that we are still contenders for the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I like it. I love your pep talk, Lauren. You're always good for that.
I feel for you. You fire me up. So, you know, we got to keep the positivity, but you know, still be realistic about everything. But I do. I think we have yet to play our best basketball, and we will get there.
I like it. I like it, Lauren. Thank you, Lauren. I appreciate it. Yeah, I think so. I think doesn't mean things don't have to be tweaked. Right? And I know some people aren't feeling it, and I believe me, I understand it. And I know things need to be tweaked. But I think it can. I think it can be. I believe it can be salvaged. B-Hawk! B-Hawk! Can it be salvaged, B-Hawk?
Yeah, and, you know, I'm very fiery. You know, I call in, man. I call in more and be like, look, I'll call in one day and be like, look, trade everybody. I'll be hot. but real, and I'm admitted, you know, I eat crow when I have to, but watching this young man and watching some footage, I mean, being a point forward coming in a new position, it's like getting a job in a new position. You're afraid to make mistakes. He has to trust himself. Only thing I would have did different, I wish they could have had a Hall of Fame guard develop him as he came along to understand what needs to be done, because I think sometimes the fruition of the game, you know, I just, you know, when he comes and stops in the middle of the flow, it disrupts, but only thing,
see, you know what's weird, though, real quick, B-Hawk, is that his father raised him to be a point guard.
Right.
Like, he was, you know, it was almost like from, you know, at birth, he was going to be the point guard. And it just so happened that he kept growing.
Yeah, and at LSU, it's almost like they didn't know the position, but then to put him back in that position, I wish they had someone along the lines like how the Mavericks got Sham God, how Rob Strickland is on some NBA teams. I wish they had a guard or maybe a kid or someone that could have groomed him or a veteran behind him like what Moses did with Barkley. But on the same note, you know, I wish he developed an escape. Like most guards, you know, I said earlier, when you come out into on a break, instead of stopping the dribble, you escape out and keep the dribble alive and the flow alive because sometimes it disrupts everything. But on another hand, I watch him. I'm a big critic on him. Some days, I'm hard on him. But the potential, we ask him for one little ingredient in the soup. Once that ingredient flow, and I see what Brett wants to do with growing a bomber. We're shooting these shots. We're shooting these threes. But if this thing, now I'm starting to, like, if this thing turns into fruition and we can do some dancing, some things during the deadline, that bomber, he's trying to grow. He's trying to spread the ball around. So when that time comes, we can play inside out and when the shots are dropping. Tobias, once we get comfortable, we see what he's trying to do. Can you imagine if the bombers grow all the way around? But Embiid, you got to hit that block, buddy. I'm really not feeling this article response that he put in. You know,
well, for those people didn't see it, in the Players Tribune, he talked about how, you know, it's not 2020 basketball to live on the block. let's examine that for a second. Before we just slough it off,
right?
You know, I do think on this team, he doesn't have to live on the low block because you have other low post options.
You know, and that is true. But the only thing is the fatigue three. Remember back in the day, that three that came from the big man was when the team was up or it's a trailing three. But just to come off, because you are fatigued when you're getting back, taking those threes, and there's no one else under the rim, is basketball 1-on-1. Long shot, a low percentage, longer rebound. So if he can bounce it out.
Yeah, see, he's talking about the fatigue comes, though, in establishing position in the low block.
But also on the other end, playing defense. But he's still got to get in better shape. And also, if he's going behind the back and trying to dribble and put on the floor,
I agree with you. I mean, listen, the idea that he's watching Chris Paul and he's watching Harden, I agree with you. Like, you know, come on, dude. Like, your double team comes, you don't need to dribble for a double team. You need to pass out a double team. Like, I'm with you. I'm not as staunch though about the low block.
But you know, I mean, but basketball, high percentage shot, basketball, one, you can play inside out. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we've seen the Dream do it. But my last thing, only thing about the drill behind the back, he about two steps with those big feet of breaking his own ankle or stepping on someone's foot. If you're a center, how many times you even fell to the ground trying to go behind the back? Stay within, and I wish someone worked with him as well. But if we grow to where we are, but I still think on the deadline to see what we can do, I see what Brett trying to do. I'm slowly starting to turn the corner. I have to watch some footage, but we just keep the faith. I ain't out, brother. I'm going to keep riding in. But you know, we're going to give them hell when they need it.
Without a doubt. And that's good. I agree. I'm not telling you, when I go in or out, I'm not saying you got to be muzzled. By all means. By all means. You know, like, this is who we are. We got to be honest and real. You know, I'm even though I try to look at things through a positive lens, like I still feel it. Like, I see the same issues that you do too, but I just still feel it. Now, again, I don't know. I may wake up tomorrow and I might not feel it. In which case, I'll say it. I'm like, I don't feel it. You know, thus far, I feel it. Now, you can psychoanalyze me. Do I want to feel it? So I feel it. But I do. I told you when the Phillies, I didn't feel the Phillies and the as a playoff team. And it was early, right?
Yeah, you were on that Tunis from the jump. Like when they took first place in May, you weren't buying in.
And that's just, I don't see it. Now you could feel the same way about the people who are out. The 28% of the poll that say they're not in could be like same thing, how I didn't feel the Phillies. Now we'll see who's right at the come playoff time. I still think they have the components, though. See, to me, if you have the components, you can't judge this team now without Embiid. I know they're struggling and they got to win and have to win without him because there still needs to be a certain seed that you get to. But there's still, again, you still are without, you know, one of the top players in the league in Joel Embiid. So I you know, I think there is a little bit of a curve. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll talk to Tim Legler. That's right. Legs will join us. And I know he's in up at ESPN up in Bristol. So we'll talk to Legs and we'll get his take because he was breaking down the Sixers last night. So we'll talk to him. Little NBA, get involved. How about that Markelle Fultz? Is that outrageous? Gary Smith, formerly Sports Illustrated, who I was talking about earlier, one of the great writers on the planet, will join us at 1:10. So some and he's an incredibly thoughtful guy. He's done some amazing profiles, pieces. He knows the brain of the athlete. And we'll look at those two brains in Embiid and Simmons with Gary. Look, it's no secret I'm Philly proud. I was raised here, proud to be the 4-for-4 guy. Parks Casino and Sportsbook, my 4-for-4 casino of choice. That's right, the sportsbook for all the 4-for-4s. We choose Parks Perfecta. Tonight is the Cousins Corner from 6 to 7. Right before Flyers Canadiens tonight. Check out the Cousins Corner at Parks Casino, Street Road, Ben Salem. So we'll be up at Parks tonight. It is the football playoffs this weekend. You have the championship games, and there's so many ways to wager. Spreads, props, parlays, teasers, even live in-game betting. Plus, you got, you know, the NBA, you got college ball, you got Flyboys hockey like tonight, MMA, European soccer. It's the home team at Parks Casino and Sportsbook right in Bucks County. Download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app right now. Or if on Android, go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use promo code QB500 and get your first risk-free bet to $500. Your risk-free bet is refunded as a free bet in site credit. Use the Cuz 4-for-4 promo code QB500. Get your first risk-free bet to $500. My sportsbook of choice, Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Gotta be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You watch him break it down. It's why Ken from Wilmington said, you know, Tim Legler should coach the Sixers. He breaks it down. He's terrific. ESPN NBA analyst. The best. He's Legs on the Comcast Business Hotline. Legs.
What up, Ant? How you doing, buddy?
All right. You know, we're...
Hey, stop. You got to win. Relax.
Yeah. Now, listen, I'm good, but the people are a little concerned.
Yeah, I understand that. And, it's all legitimate, you know. And the thing is, if I want to make anybody feel a little better today, if you look at all of the top six teams in the Eastern Conference, they're all missing something, even the Bucks. So, you know, they're all flawed, and the question continues to be which team is going to be able to manage their roster the best to figure out the best way to get those guys to play well together. And so anybody that's got concerns about the Sixers, particularly offensively, they're legitimate concerns.
What do you think? Like when you look at this offense, how would you play it? You know, give me like your dream, you know, like if you, cause knowing you, you look at things through the prism of a coach. I've watched you at your incredible, incredible clinics for kids and your camps. And I know how your mind works. How would you, using these pieces, what would make sense offensively?
Well, part of it is, look, I think part of it is you have to also look at you know, what's the roster missing? Anthony, if you really wanted to put together an offense that's ideal to win in this league. One of the things that I've said from the beginning that I think would benefit the Sixers is if they did utilize Ben Simmons a little bit differently in the half-court offense. I don't think that Ben Simmons needs to be the guy that brings the ball up the floor every single time on a dead ball situation or after made basket. I just don't. I think Ben Simmons' ability to facilitate offense is something you want to utilize. You want the ball in his hands. You want the ball in his hands, particularly if he's got a head of steam coming up the backcourt and he's using his speed. And you saw some of that last night where he just puts so much pressure on you with his speed and his finishing ability that you end up, you know, overcommitting help, and now he's able to find shooters on the perimeter. So you want that as an aspect of your offense. But if you want to initiate your offense all the time with someone who is limited in the areas of the floor that he can score in, I just think you're handcuffing your offense a little bit. So I think there's a percentage of the game where Ben Simmons maybe slides over to the four spot for me. And he is a guy that can operate more as a baseline slasher, as a rim finisher, as an offensive rebound position, as a guy that can make some weak side cuts if you've got double teams on Joel Embiid or Al Horford or whatever.
Well, they put him in a dunker spot a lot. I mean,
they do that, but I think most of the time he ends up in that spot, it's sort of organically after they initiate their offense and he brings it up and he runs a dribble handoff or whatever they run, and then he will sort of drift down there and he'll play in that spot. I just think when you have a guy that's your number one primary ball handler and handles a ball significantly more than anybody else, I just think it's really critical that that guy is a threat. Now, do they have that guy necessarily on their roster right now? They don't, and that could be, you know, if you look at the most glaring weakness of their team, to me, that would be it. A guy that's running the majority of your offense and is involved in a lot of pick and rolls and is coming up the floor and you're starting to prepare defensively what's about to happen here, you're not worried about where that guy is going to score from. And I think that makes the spacing a little bit of a challenge for them and a challenge for Brett.
Yeah, without a doubt. Because, and by the way, when they're all there, now you have three guys that are best in the post when Embiid's playing. So now you have three guys. You're trying to integrate all that. But is there a way? All right, let's focus on Ben for a second because, you know, he's always the topic of conversation.
And for a different reason with me, man, I'm not one of these people that's going to sit there and just consistently beat this drum, man. The guy's got to shoot. People need to stop with that because it is never going to happen. If you don't understand by now what a player is and what he's comfortable doing, then, you know, people don't understand the game enough if they're going to continue to scream that because it's just not going to happen. And so what you have to do, you have to then utilize the things that he does well, which there's a lot of those things that help you win games on both ends. You have to utilize those things, but I think you also have to be honest about, you know, what a title-contending NBA offense looks like, and you've got to figure out a way to get more of a threat on your roster that's the primary ball handler, and Ben Simmons maybe sliding off the ball a little bit more in your half-court offense. And if you do that, and then you can really focus on the things that he does well, and you're not as worried about those times when he comes down and he's got 12, 15 feet of space, he's not looking at the rim, and that's what people want to talk about the next day. I just think you're beating a dead horse because you're not going to see this dramatic evolution of Ben Simmons as a shooter in the NBA ever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think – I agree with that. I mean, I don't think all of a sudden he's going to turn into being a threat from all, you know, parts of the floor. But as far as attacking the rim consistently, like – What do you make of first half, he attacks the rim, he scores 20, second half, he's not doing that?
Well, look, I mean, if you don't think there's some validity to the fact that when he goes to the line, he's not a confident player, right? And there's a reason for it, right? His percentages aren't very good. I think he starts to question himself in that situation. You know, think about, Anthony, and you're a close game in the fourth quarter, and you're the primary ball handler, and you got opportunities maybe to get downhill and get to the rim, or you come off a brush ball screen, and you got that long stride, and you say, okay, one hard power dribble from 20 feet, and that guy's at the rim, but there's also a very good chance he's going to be contested. There's going to be a lot of contact on
right.
him. And is that going to end up being an empty trip? You know, you can't ignore that's something that's there that exists. You know, because the great players in this league and the great scorers and the great finishers in the fourth quarter, guys that can close games, they're not thinking that way. They're thinking like I'm going to be the guy that's going to get something good here for myself because that I'm the guy people are looking for to do it. And I'm certainly not worried about driving to Nurmer now and getting contact. In fact, I would relish that opportunity right now to get two free easy points. And there's a lot of pressure associated with making those shots, and the great players thrive on that. Ben Simmons is not a confident player if he gets into that situation. And I think it probably does affect the way he thinks and the way he's processing what he's seeing in those situations. In the first three quarters, he sees a gap, and the way he played in the first half last night, and he's so aggressive, and if you don't get back and wall him off, he takes that last long stride, and man, is he fast, and he glides to the rim and finishes. Well, that exact same scenario in the fourth quarter, he might not even be looking at that gap the same way, okay? He's not processing.
He's not. I mean, we've pointed that out. He's not. That's like Giannis, who's not a good free throw shooter either. It doesn't bother him.
Yeah, I know. And unfortunately, look, it doesn't bother him, and he's the MVP of the league. But look, it absolutely contributed to a season prematurely last year. Because
you're right.
he got into a situation against Toronto where they basically played a 1-2-2 zone, and they say, you know what, Giannis, he's a good playmaker. He's not going to pick us apart by finding guys all over the court to kill us with three-point shooting. So we're going to load up on him and make sure he is not overwhelming us physically at the rim and gutting us at the paint. So we're going to load up, and we're going to see how he figures out a way to beat this. And as the series went on, and if they're up 2-0, and they actually lose game three in overtime, so you think about how close they were to breaking through, and maybe Toronto doesn't even win that championship. But they didn't. And as Toronto started to get momentum, he got more and more bottled up.
Oh, he did. Yeah.
All right? Because he didn't know what to do. You're counting on me to get 30 like I did all regular season. And right now, there are not lanes there for me that I'm comfortable attacking, but I'm going to do it anyway because you guys need me to. He's running guys over. He's taking horrible off-balance shots with guys draped on him. He's going to the line, and he's missing free throws. So you say he's not affected by it. You're right. He's going to keep going because he's, you know, the MVP of the league. He's clearly the guy on that team that they need to do it. Doesn't mean that he's real comfortable doing it. So I think for me, he's even a guy, as great as he is, and he's probably going to win his second MVP in a row. I'm still very concerned about whether he's got the offensive capability to beat a defense that loads up on him in a seven-game series. I'm not sure they're going to break through, despite the fact that they're 36-6 right now.
I know. I you know, it's funny because I still think the Sixers match up because they throw three guys at him that will frustrate the hell out of him.
Well, Joel Embiid playing him the last time they played was eye-opening to me. Now think about what we're saying, because for all intents and purposes, Giannis Antetokounmpo plays a lot of point forward for that team, and the Sixers played a 7-foot-1 center on him, and he did not know what to do. Now, there's a stat that it's not a coincidence that the six games that Milwaukee has lost, I believe, Giannis Antetokounmpo is 3-for-31 from the 3-point line.
Wow.
Now, Giannis Antetokounmpo is not a guy that's going to beat you from out there. But what that tells you is on the nights when he is just flat out not feeling it from out there, he has a hard time figuring out a way that he's going to be able to score enough offensively or beat you enough offensively to get them through. And it's a legitimate concern. And if he runs into a team, whether it's the second or third round, and they have the same concept defensively, and here's the thing, Toronto not only, you know, Nick Nurse said, okay, this is what we're going to do. You have to then have players that are so bought into that and not like, you know, every other time commit to it. No, the entire game plan revolves around stopping one player, and they bought in. So if you have a team that does that again, the players commit, the coach comes up with the game plan. I mean, anybody here is super convinced that Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be able to get through that situation and beat a team like that? The top of the East, man, has a lot of parity there with those other teams. And so if he has a rough couple of games, it turns an entire series. So I talked earlier when I first came on, everybody's flawed. That's theirs because I don't know. He hasn't shown me enough that he's going to be able to be different in that situation if he gets there again.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great point. Legs with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Legs, what do you see from Horford and how can you get him integrated? He looks like he's swimming. What do you see? What do you see in him?
Yeah, it's hard, man. He's in a tough spot just because, again, you know, he was in a great spot when he was in Boston because they had so many different guys that were multidimensional, off the dribble type scorers and players that he could, you know, pick his spots when to be in the post. And he was the only guy on that team that wanted to go down there. So when he wanted to go into the post, it was his post. And they throw it into him, and then guys could spot up. But when they wanted to play their, you know, side-to-side action and catch swing and dribble kick a game that they like to play, he could just stand at the top of the key and set ball screens and pick and pop. So he was always in a really comfortable zone. In this team, it's a little bit different. The shooting isn't there to that extent. The spacing's not great. You already said the other two guys on their team, they really count on the scorer, also like to play down there. And I think he's had a hard time from a spacing standpoint trying to get it going. Look, he's also getting up there a little bit.
Right.
You know, see, he's not the same Al Horford that had those super fresh legs every night when he was in Atlanta or even early in Boston. He's an aging player. He's a veteran player, still really smart, still can help you. Still, I think, a great defensive player, communicator on the floor. But I think this offense has handcuffs a little bit more for him to really thrive and succeed.
Can you do bully ball? Like, we talk about bully ball all the time. And they still shoot a lot of threes, which is not akin to bully ball. Is there a way where you can
You're talking about just legitimately beat teams up on the post and throw it in there?
Yeah, mid-range and then post up.
Here's the thing. That's obviously a strength of their team, but just if you just go look at the math on winning that way, that's a tough way to win in this league. That is a tough way to win.
I know.
Because teams are taking 43 pointers a night. Okay. I mean, on a slow night, teams are taking 28 threes. And I laugh at this because I think about the year back, my last, you know, in 95, 96, I was in Washington. I led the league in 3-point shooting.
You're born too early.
Well, Anthony, our team shot like 15 a game. I mean, you know, and I took like half of them. I mean, because not everybody on the team had like a license to shoot that shot whatever they wanted. So these guys have gone, and obviously the game has evolved in terms of just no bigs on the court. Everybody's multidimensional. The fours and fives now want to handle the ball and shoot threes. So the league evolved in that way. And so on a given night, when you're playing teams that are taking on a slow night 28 threes, and on a busy night, if you play one of those teams that really shoot them, they might take 40, 45 of them. And you're going to play that way, winning with twos and mid-range and free throws. I think that's a really tough thing mathematically to like work.
But let me counter. Can I counter the math? Because conversely, what I do well on the defensive, on the other part of the floor, is I play really good defense. So you're not going to shoot as high percentage from threes as I will from twos and go on the line.
That's a good point. And I think the other thing that ties into what you're saying is, look, if you're playing more to your personnel, which is describing the way you're talking about playing offensively, then you would think that hypothetically you would be more efficient. So the ball's going in more often.
Right.
And if that's the case, you're talking about teams playing against your half-court defense, which can be as good as any in the league. So, look, that's a very valid point. You know, the question, I guess, would be how much more efficient are you going to be playing that way?
Mm-hmm.
Because look, if it added up that way, and this is a team that can really just beat you up inside and get what they want most times, then I say, yeah. Here's the problem, though. Do you have enough 3-point shooting for the double teams that are going to be coming?
Right.
Because you're obviously going to get double teams. You get thrown at you every single time. So I think it's right now, you know, because it's not a steady diet of it, teams can be a little bit more selective of when they double. But if teams get ready to play the Sixers and they watch the last game film and they're saying, okay, they're going to throw the ball into the low post 45 times between, you know, Simmons and Embiid and Horford. And then, you know, even Josh Richardson goes down there a little
bit. Yeah, he does.
Tobias likes to back guys down. So and they say, if that's how they're going to play, then here's what we're going to do. And now you start to go through film. You're talking about a committed double-teaming scheme where now you're basically going to have to bait them into and dare them into the kickouts and taking the threes. I don't know that they're a very consistent 3-point shooting team or they have enough of it. Because it's not like you're just going to throw it in and guys are just going to score on one-on-one coverage. I mean, they're being scoring anybody in the
right, right down there. Right.
He's not going to get that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.